Thank you so much. Well, it's an honor for me to be here one more time. I am sure Pastor Otero is by now is 60% tanned and he's enjoying the waters of Cancun. As I said last week, it is much on the shoulders of a pastor, burden caring for each member. And I know when I met Pastor in 1983, 84, he showed me a Rolodex of all of his members with their cards, with their names and their pictures, and he would pray for them one a day. And he would take the card, put it in the back, and he would bring the burdens of his members and his loved ones to the Lord. It's very difficult to lead in this day and age, so we have to pray that God will give him rest and his wife, because without his wife, Pastor is kind of too tall to carry the burden on his own. So today, I come to you with a message, and I want to talk to you about a story that was read from the Word of God. Now, this story is recorded in the Gospel of Mark and also Gospel of Luke. Our brother Plika read from the Gospel of Luke, and I know most of you know this story. I don't think there's anybody here that does not know this story. And sometimes, you know, we get into the grut of preaching sermons every day, every week, and I pause and I ask myself, when is a sermon a blessing? When you do something over and over and over again, sometimes you kind of lose why we are preaching and why we are sharing. And well, I want to share with you five quick things. Why and when is a preaching a blessing? In my humble opinion, a preaching is a blessing when it comes from a messenger's heart to the hearer's heart. Now, I'll tell you this, this message has touched my heart, and I pray that it will touch your heart as well. Secondly, why a message is a blessing? I think a message is a blessing when it obviously is true to the Word of God. We cannot preach from the newspaper and kind of tie it together. It won't work. It won't work. That's why Washington is here, but we are not there. We are preaching from the gospel. And this word was read from the Bible. So it is coming from the Word of God. And today I'm going to preach to you, thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith Bethel or thus saith Teen Challenge. No, I'm going to tell you, thus saith the Lord. So open your ears with me. And my hearing aid is bad, so I got to tune it up today, because when I was driving, someone cut me off and my mind went the other way. The third reason why I believe a message is a blessing is that when a message is heard, it has to be heard. Someone told me, well, I hear Pastor Otero every day. I said, do you? Do you really hear him? Do you really listen with interest? Do you really understand what was being said? I'm going to make this story as plain as possible. Plain as possible, because the Word of God is plain if you really read it with faith. Some of us may not find God's Word interesting, but I do. This is the Word of God. This is what shook the whole universe. And in this story, the Lord says, who touched me? And the disciple says, are you kidding me? You're in the middle of a flea market. We got 9,000 people here. And you're asking who touched me? That must be interesting to you, isn't it? So the fourth reason why I believe a message is a blessing is it needs to meet a particular need of both the person who's preaching and the hearer. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm trying as best as I can together to search the scripture, to find the way of holiness, to find the way of life, to find the way of redemption. We are in need of grace and mercy, just like this woman was. Grace to help you in the time of need. Mercy to help you in the time of need. The gospel tells us clearly in Hebrews 4:16 that let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain money. No. That we may obtain a beautiful wife. No. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of prosperity. No. In the time of need. That's why we preach the gospel. And the last reason why I believe a message could be a blessing is when it leaves the hearers, the preacher, and it enters our hearts, and we rejoice in the Lord. Now, if a message comes into our hearts and we become hardened, and we don't want to listen, and we don't want to obey, and we get hardened in our positions, we get hardened in our prejudice, we get hardened in our pride, we get hardened in our vain philosophy, then that message is not a blessing to none of us. This message needs to come into our hearts and causes us to seek God's mercy. If it doesn't, it's not a blessing. If we leave here with an attitude of, you know, we will do exactly what I was told in 1922, and that's it. I don't listen and I don't care. Then it's not a blessing for us, right? So therefore, with that mindset, I'd like to get into the story and give you a quick introduction. Here is a woman who's been ill, seriously ill. You know the story. For how many years? 12 years. Now, she spent everything she had. Most of us could relate to it, right? We gave everything we had. She had apparently some savings. I don't know what she did. She sold stocks or she went and sold purple clothing. I don't know what she did. The Bible doesn't say, but evidently she had some kind of an income. And she had spent everything she had on a recommended cure. You know, I tell you what, when I was growing up, a lot of people recommended a lot of cures. And most of them were in churches. Most of them were in churches. They recommended a lot of cures. So we spend everything we had. We go to the physicians. We go to the doctors. We go to the preacher. We go to the choir. We go to the church, but we never go to Christ. We go everywhere, but we don't go to Christ. So she spends everything she has, and she's not better, and she doesn't get better. And all of us know, when we go and we spend all of our energy, all of our soul, all of our being to get well on our own. And I tell you something, the Gospel of Mark says she got worse, worse and worse. There is no cure in the solution that man provide. And she was close to dying. But something happened. If we read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verse 27, something happens. Thank God something happened to us, right? Thank God. Something happened. What do you think happened? What happens? I tell you what happened. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 27. When she had woken up, no, something happened. When she had heard of Jesus Christ, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Something happened. What happened? She heard that Christ is in this particular place at a particular time. This woman who was seriously ill, the very life of her bleeding out from her, came behind him and touched him. The scripture says that she touched the border or the hem of his garment, and just like that, she was made whole. She was made whole. Our master stops and says, "Who touched me?" The disciples rightly say, "Well, master, everybody is rushing and brushing against you. And you ask, who touched me?" And then he said, "Somebody touched me." And this is the title of my sermon today. Somebody touched me. Now, we don't know who is the name of this Mrs. Somebody. I don't know what her name is. I don't know her daddy. I don't know her kids. I don't know what church she went to. I don't know who was her rabbi. I have no idea what village she went to. I had no idea about her life, but I know one thing. This Mrs. Somebody heard Jesus was there and went and touched him. Now, I know our God is just. That's great. Our God is righteous and holy, but thank God our God is merciful. 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 He is plenteous in mercy, the gospel says, and delights to show mercy. He doesn't show us mercy because he has to. You know, I need to sometimes discipline my kid, and I sometimes grudgingly don't do it because I want to show him mercy. But God loves it when he shows us mercy. He is plenteous, and he is delights when he shows me mercy. I have to go to hell, and he takes me and puts me in heaven, and he delights in withholding what I deserve. He delights in it. I tell you something else. He came to this world to save that somebody. And my question to you today is, are you that Mr. Somebody? Are you that Mrs. Somebody today? I don't know your name. I don't know where you came from. I don't know why you're here. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who's gonna read. I have no idea, but I know something. God came to this world to save someone. And who is he gonna save? And the Bible says, he shall not fail. He shall not fail. Somebody is going to glory. Somebody is gonna hear the trumpet. Somebody is gonna raise from hell. Somebody is gonna see his blessed face. Somebody is gonna be made just like him in heaven. Somebody is going to be the joint heir with him in heaven. Somebody is gonna be saved. I tell you something else. Holy Spirit is going to regenerate and call that somebody to repentance. His mission in this world is to call out people for himself, for God's name. He's going to do it, and he's going to call them out one by one. Somebody is going to be raised from the grave. I am positive. Somebody is going to go to heaven and have eternal life. Somebody is going to be made just like Christ. Somebody. And I want to be that somebody. Amen. Do you want to be that somebody? Amen. Now I want you to look at the story again. Maybe, just maybe, God will do for us today what he did for that Mrs. Somebody. First of all, I want to show you four or five things, depending on the time. First of all, and I know the smell of this enchiladas are coming, And I'm like, what to do? But I gotta tell you, I got 5 points. Let's get through it. So first thing, now this somebody has been sick for a long time. I tell you this, she was sick for 12 years old. But let me tell you something, and I'm gonna shock you. Fasten your seatbelt. You and I have been sick much longer than that. Much longer than that. Okay, our sickness is older than hers. She has a physical illness, but we have a spiritual illness. We have a spiritual illness. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 5, behold, I was shaped like a GQ magazine, carved like Adam. No, the Bible says I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. I ain't no George Clooney. No way. I'm not. What I am is I was born in iniquity, and my mother conceived me in sin. The Bible says sin is not just an act. It is an attitude. It is a principle. It is our nature. We are born in that nature. Now, I don't have to teach my children how to hit each other and beat each other. I don't need to teach them how to steal. I don't need to teach them how to hate. I don't need to teach them all of these things. You know why? Because it's in them. The Bible says we are born with that nature. Our issue isn't what we do. We do because of who we are. And who we are is sinners. That's why we do what we do. This is our nature. Within us is corrupt. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged when they become 18 years old. No, the wicked are estranged when they're 12 years old. No, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You see that our issue is not what we do that makes us bad. Our issue is who we are. That's why we do what we do. Now, wait a minute. You are much, our disease is much older than hers. 12 years. Our sickness, you know where it goes? How far back it goes? Even before we were born. It goes back to 1 Corinthians 15:20. In Adam, we all died. That's where our sickness come from. In Adam, we all died. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, death passed upon all of the white people. No, death passed upon all of the guys who live in Middle East. No, death passed upon all men. Now, I got a news for you. Sin doesn't have a zip code. The people in Morgan Hill are not better than the people in Gilroy. The people in Washington are not better than the people in Afghanistan. Sin does not have a zip code. All men have died. All. All. When Adam sinned, everything, the death, the disease, passed upon all of us. So therefore, we have this problem. And this lady has this problem. This lady has this problem. And we know one thing, that if we have this problem, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I have a problem. Not only I have a nature that's full of envy and sin, not only I do what my nature wants me to do, the Bible says I cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What to do? I mean, we can go eat some enchiladas and have some, you know, become, like pastor says, gorditas, and then go home and everything is good. No. And this is why this story is very important for all of us. My friend, listen to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I cannot convince you of your sin, of sin. It is easy for me to come and sit and say, and convince you of the sin you have done. You know, you should not steal. You know, it's bad when you take money from this guy and give it to this guy. It's bad. I can convince you of the sin we have done, but I cannot convince you of the sin. God has to convince us of that sin because it's rooted within us. It's in our soul. It's in our being. We cannot convince each other that, hey, you are a sinner. We will not believe it. As I told you, in 1984, with the church, we went out passing out pamphlets for the first time, and people look at them and throw them away. They said, we are not sinners. Go give it to those guys that are sinners. We're good. We're good people. And what did Jesus say? I came to seek and to find what? Those that were lost. We gotta know we're lost before we are found. If you're not lost, you're never gonna get found. Like me, I'm driving towards LA and I'm not lost. All of a sudden I see Mexico. I'm not lost. If I don't know I'm lost, I will never be found. You got to know you are lost first. You gotta hit bottom, someone said. So I tell you something. This sin is deep within us. We can fix a lot of things, but that internal issue we have, that root of the sin that's within our soul, I don't know how to fix that, but I know who knows how to fix it. A lot of people try to tell us, it's the things we do are bad, but the gospel says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, they defile the man. You know, it's not what goes in that defiles you. The brother said, we do a lot of drugs, we do a lot of this. That's just the output of the sin. What comes out of your heart, that defiles you. When that thing is fixed, then what goes in is fixed too. Right? If you fix what goes in, but don't fix this, doesn't matter. I show you 1,000 Muslim people that live life pure. You walk, and these guys are walking as if they know God, but their heart is not fixed. What's going to happen to them? You understand? So we got to have both, right? You fix the heart, then what goes in is not going to be the same. But if you just cut what goes in and the heart isn't fixed, we got the same problem. You're just going to die and go to hell happy. Not sad. All right? So the first thing is, she was sick for a long time, and we are sick for a long time. And our spirit, our soul is dead. And David, like David said, my sin is ever before me. David knew this. Job said, I abhor myself, I hate myself. Job! Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. You see? The men of God know who they are. You don't need to convince them. They know who they are. They know where they came from. They know where they've been. No, you don't need to tell them. They know it. They don't pride in what they've done. They pride in what God has done. Now, the first thing is she was sick for a long time. The second thing that is very important, nobody could find cure for her. Nobody. And we all relate to that. This somebody looked everywhere. This somebody took everything she had. This somebody went here, went there. This somebody tried everything. Drink some of this, eat some of that, go to that, come here, blah, blah, blah. She went around and around and around, but she could not find any cure. I'm telling you this, that evil of sin, that disease which we are born with, nobody can fix. Nobody. The law cannot heal you. The Bible says in Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. The work of the religion cannot help you. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Whatever we bring to God cannot help us because they're imperfect. They're not pure. They're tainted with our sin. They're imperfect. Therefore, God says, we come short of the glory of God. The ordinances doesn't help us. You get baptized not once, 10 times. It's not going to help you. Somebody told me, I just need to have a piece of that bread and wine. It's going to save me. No, sir. No, sir. It's not going to save you. It's going to go into your tummy, but it's not going to touch your soul. I had an uncle once whose grandkids are here, and he's still alive. He, by mistake, went to the fridge, took a cup of Clorox and drank it to clean his pipes. I ain't gonna help you. He's still alive. It's not gonna help you. He drank it, the whole thing, right? To cleanse, but it's not gonna help you. It may cleanse your stomach, but it ain't gonna cleanse your soul. You need something that penetrates deeper than that. So, the Bible says to us, the preacher cannot help you. The priest cannot help you. Why do you go to them? Why do we continue to go to them? He can't do anything about his own sin, let alone my sin. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven, giving among men, whereby we must be saved. There's nobody else. So this somebody was sick for a long time. This somebody could not find any cure in the world. You spend every penny you have, you will not find cure. You won't. You will not. And then something happens that changes our lives. Somehow, somewhere, she heard of Jesus. This is where things change from bad to great, right? Something happens in our lives. Now, I'm not trying to promote this church or an organization or promote a hospital or try to promote anything else. I'm here to promote the gospel of the Son of God. I hear all of these preachers talking about the gospel, but hardly any one of them is preaching the gospel. I hear all of these people doing fundraising so they can preach the gospel. After they get the funds, hardly any one of them starts preaching the gospel. Now, this woman heard of Christ. People are not going to hear Christ until we do something. What? There's a secret. We start telling people about Christ. If you don't, how can you hear? Romans, you remember Romans? How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how do they believe if they haven't heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how do you preach except you be sent? You got to preach. You got to talk. If you don't talk, this woman, this Mrs. Somebody would have never, ever heard about Jesus. You know? You got to talk. Somebody told her of his great power. Oh, I saw him do this, change this guy's life, this Lazarus. Oh, stinking Lazarus. He went in and he said, Lazarus, come for I. Mrs. Somebody, I seen it. I know what Jesus can do for you. Oh, look at me. I was a drunkard. I was a party animal. I spent every paycheck I had to go spend on alcohol and all of these things. But look what God did to me. He can do the same to you, Mrs. Somebody. Don't neglect Christ. Don't. Have you heard the story of Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about have you heard about Jesus, about what he can do, about his power. No, no, no. But I want you to be assured in your heart. Have you heard the story of Jesus? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So then faith cometh by, what? I love that word. You hear, she heard about Christ. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, you gotta talk about it. Have you heard the story of Jesus? Christ said to his disciples, go and preach the gospel only to the Jews. No, go and preach the gospel to every creature. This is our job. This is our job. In whom you trusted after you heard the gospel of your salvation. You heard. Hear. Hear. Did you? Have you heard the story of Jesus? Really? Have you? So one, she was sick for a long time. Two, ain't no cure for you and me. Three, something happened. She heard about Jesus. Number four, what happened? What do you think she did? Well, you know, I heard about Jesus, but I still have another 20 years, you know. I'll go find him later. You know, you oldies, you know, you guys have done everything in your life. That's what they tell me in my other church. You, for 30 years, I've seen you when you were growing up. You did everything you wanted. Now you're telling me to come and believe and have a Jesus in my life. I got 30 years. As soon as she heard, she did something. When God draws you, you know, ain't nobody gonna stop you. And he says, this gospel says, she came to him. Why did she come? Because she heard. How did she hear? Somebody told her about Jesus. She came in the crowd behind him. She didn't. Now listen to me. Listen carefully now. She didn't come to the apostles all dressed up in their uniforms of religion. She didn't come to the manger and buy a ounce of that hay that Jesus slept on when he was a little boy. Now I'm serious now. She didn't go to his mama, did she? Did she go to Peter? No. Did she go to Paul? No. Did she go to Matthew? No. She go to Luke, Dr. Luke. I mean, doctor, I mean, he could heal me. No. She didn't come to his doctrines, did she? She didn't come to his church, did she? Let me go to that church that Jesus preached. Maybe I can get healed. Maybe something is going to happen to me, no? She didn't come to his law. Can you imagine she would go to that temple and try to reach to that, Ark of Covenant and try to touch that covenant, those tables of stone? Can you imagine her doing that? The law would condemn her. She didn't come to the front of the church, did she? She didn't go to River Jordan. Oh, that's where he was baptized. I want to go exactly. Where is his footprint? I want to look for it. And I'm going to go stand there. Maybe I get healed. No. Now I'm serious. She came to him. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you really see what I'm saying? This is what frightens me about today's religion. It scares me to death. Men are coming for salvation to everything and everybody except Jesus Christ. Oh, he is the fountain of life. He is the source of our mercy. He is the living Lord. He is the redeemer of his people. She heard. She didn't go to the soul winner. She didn't go to a manger. She didn't go to his mother. She came to him. She said, if I can only touch him. She didn't go after the Moses' staff so she can touch it and be healed. That staff divided the sea, no? She didn't go after that cross of serpent. Do you remember in the gospel, the Bible, it says people started worshiping that serpent that was raised up. She didn't go to that cross, no. She came to him. If I can only touch him. People today are... I don't know what they do. They go and run around and they claim they have this, they have that. What did you accomplish by that? What happened? People come to organizations, they come to altars, they come to ordinances, they come dry, they go wet, they come to the decision doctrines. But if you have not come to Christ, all of that is foolishness. It is not going to help you. Spiritually, salvation is in a person. Not in a church, not in a pastor, not in a choir. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah says, chapter 2, verse 9. It belongs to him. Nobody else can give it to you. He came and said, come unto me. Those who are beautiful, no? He said, come unto me. Who? All of you. That's labor and what? Heavy. And I will give you rest. He didn't say come to my church. He didn't say come to my doctrines. He didn't say come to my pastor. He didn't say go to Peter, otherwise you won't be saved. He didn't say that. He said come unto me. All of you. He stood at the last day of that feast, the great feast in John chapter 7. And the last day when everything was packed, the altars were dried, pour water over them, the tents were gathered. In John 7:37, he stood at the last day of that great feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, go to where? Gilroy, they have an excellent cleaning water system. No. If any man thirst, let him come unto Peter. He has this little water hidden in his pocket, and he's going to give you one drop for the next 20 years. No. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Me. There is no living water in anybody. Muhammad is going to give you some water. It may taste good, but it's a short term. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. I'm telling you the truth. Buddha can do the same thing. He'll tell you love everybody. And you do that with all your heart. But you're going to hell. You know what? Because that internal part of you is not fixed. That heart, that soul has not been changed. Ezekiel 37 says, I will take the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and I will let you go. No. And I will cause you to walk according to my statutes. I will cause you. I will be with you. Don't be afraid. Who can remove you from the love of God? Who? Don't stop short of Christ. I beg you. Because he's the fountain of life. The scripture says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I got you, he says. Don't worry, Anthony. I got you. Don't worry. So the Son will have to do it. The Son has to do it. He is our prophet. He reveals God to us. He is our priest. He is working and he is perfecting the sacrifices for us. He is our king. I want him to reign over my life. He is my righteousness. I want him to cover my nakedness and my shame. He is my sanctification and I want him to present us holy before God. He is my great mediator. I want him to pray for us and therefore we must come to him. Who else can do these things for us? And finally, my friends, the last thing. One, remember, sick a long time. Two, no cure. Three, oh, she heard. Wonderful. Oh, when she couldn't find any other options. When she went here and tried this drug, tried that alcohol, tried this church, tried that. She couldn't find any other options. Oh, blessed word of Christ came to her ear and she heard. And then what did she do? Oh, she ran to the manger where he was born. No, she came to him. Did you come to Christ or did you come to a person? Did you come to Christ or did we go to a man? Did we come to Christ or did we go to a mourner's bench where we sat and cried all of our lives? Where did we go? Did we come to Christ or did we go to an altar? Where did you go? Where did I go? Did I come to Christ or did I go to an ordinance or a doctrine? Where did I go? This woman got to Christ. Oh, and when she got to Christ, the fifth thing, what did she do? Hi, Jesus. How are you? Can you sign this hat for my son? He loves you. Jesus loves you. Give it to me. Can you please sign this towel, my t-shirt? Jesus, can you please? Can you have Elijah come down from heaven and kind of give me some sign? No. What does she do? She just went after him, right? Because she has heard where is the life. She has heard who has salvation. She has heard. And so she went and what does she do? Get a hold of him. She touched him. Now, why do you think her touch is different than her other touches? Why? What makes her touch different? Have you thought about that? Maybe she was wearing these lotions, you know, made for $900 a little can, and you put it and you're soft. And they show it in the TV as if you are, you know, 20 years old and the hands are very shiny. Maybe she was using some magic perfume that draws men to him, huh? What was she doing? She was bleeding. She was dying. She was in the worst shape of her life with one hope left in her life. She didn't have time to go get ready and wear the, you know, Valentino dress and go after him, $200,000 dress. She didn't have time for that. She is dying. She's bleeding to death. Why is her touch different? And why did the master take note of her touch, not the others? Why? Well, I believe her touch was a touch of faith. The other people came there out of curiosity. She came because she believed. They were there to see the hoopla. They were there to see the show. Here's Johnny. They were there to see who's going to feed me now. I heard, ooh, he fed. I want some of that food. They were there to be healed. They were there to receive alms because now there's a lot of people. We're going to beg and we're going to make money for a month so I don't have to work. They were there to get handouts. They were there to get a meal. They were there to get health and benefits. Obamacare, Obama don't care. You know, I don't know what they were there to get. They were there to get stuff free for their own lives. But this woman believed in him. And our Lord said, if you can believe, in Mark 9, all things are possible to him that what? That believes. She believed. Hers was a touch of faith. One more thing. Hers was a touch of need. She was in need. She was helpless. Have you been helpless? She was hopeless. Have you been hopeless? She was without strength, dying. Have you tasted that in your life? She needed him. Have you read the story of Naaman, the captain of the army of Syria? Have you read his story? Powerful man, but dying with leprosy. He went everywhere. He couldn't find a cure. He heard a little girl that he captured from Jewish nation. Hey, I wish my master would go to a prophet and he can heal him. He went to the king. He spent all this money. He took camels and coats and gold and silver, but he went to the wrong place. But he was dying. And then finally, he went to Elisha, and Elisha told him, go wash yourself 7 times in Jordan River. And he says, absolutely not. I don't belong to your church. I'm going to go back to my own country. I'm going to wash in my own rivers. I don't need you. And finally, 2 messengers came to him and talked to him in his ear. And he says, Master, have you heard the story of Jesus? And he says, yes. And he goes to the Jordan River and he takes off his clothes. This captain, General Schwarzkopf, takes off his hat, holes in his skin, lips is falling apart, teeth are gone. He's ugly as ugly gets, but he reveals himself to his people. He walks into the river, dips himself 7 times, and he is healed. Why? Because he needed him. He felt the bottom. He knew that if he didn't, he would die. I'll tell you something else. Hers was a touch of submission. All else had failed. He was her only hope. And she knew it. And she came to him in total submission. She didn't come and bargain with him like that prodigal son. Please take me back and I'll be a hired servant. I've worked for you. You give me money because I don't want to go eat pig's food anymore. Please. He didn't do that. She didn't do that. He is my only hope. He is my all. He is my objective. He is my Christ. He is my Savior. If I can touch him, I will be made whole. This was a touch of submission. I tell you this, in desperation, in sincerity, in need with faith, if you can get a hold of Christ, he'll do it for you exactly what he did to that woman. Out of our weakness, call upon him. Out of our sin, let's call on his name. Out of our helplessness, call on his ability, and he will make you whole. My hope, my friend, is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean or trust on Otero's name. No, on Jesus' name, his oath, his covenant, his blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul give away, he is my only hope and stay. When he shall come with a trumpet sound, oh, may I, somebody, in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless in Christ, to stand before his throne. May God bless his word to all of us. Amen.